Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. The Department of Justice has started an internal inquiry into its own role in the Bush administration's secret domestic spying program. The investigation is being conducted by the Office of Professional Responsibility, or OPR, which reviews allegations of misconduct within the law enforcement agency. The OPR acknowledged the investigation in a letter to Congressman Maurice Hinchey of New York, but did not specify which of the agency's actions or employees are being examined. Hinchey is one of a few dozen Democratic lawmakers highly critical of the eavesdropping program first revealed back in December. He says he's happy the OPR is doing it because he said, quote, it seems on the surface that certain illegal actions may express that having to comply with the Chinese law. George Bush was trying to counter critics who say his health savings accounts are only for the healthy and wealthy. He says they are a low-cost alternative to traditional insurance, and 40% of those who signed up so far earn less than $50,000 a year. Visiting the Ohio headquarters of the Wendy's fast food chain, Bush said the tax-sheltered accounts also give patients a financial incentive to keep medical spending down. He wants to expand tax breaks for the accounts. Opponents say his plans undermine traditional health insurance and will lead to more Americans going without health coverage. House Democratic Whip Steny Hoyer says it is a spoonful of bad medicine. One of the worst days of his life. Those among the first words from Dick Cheney, describing last weekend's quail hunting accident that wounded a 78-year-old Texas lawyer. Cheney says nobody else is to blame because he's the guy who pulled the trigger and shot his friend. The EPA warning, a chemical used to make Teflon and other nonstick and stain-resistant products may be a carcinogen. The warning has to be updated as soon as they get more information. This is Air America Radio News.
Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on Air America Radio. Thanks for tuning in tonight. We have an eclectic potpourri. Yeah, I know. Of topics for you tonight. Talk about drunk and drunker. Bush spent part of his busy day today talking about private health savings accounts to people who are, I'm not trying to be condescending here, trapped in minimum wage burger flipper jobs for Wendy's. And, oh, that's right, they're not, they're considered manufacturers now, not fast food burger flippers. I'm not being condescending or patronizing. I worked at McDonald's at one time. But if anybody would have come up to me and said, guess what, on your minimum wage, we're going to allow you to open up private savings health accounts. And golly gee, you can, when you get $100,000 in there, you can have a coronary bypass surgery. Good luck. Son of a bitch, I can never understand why this criminal enterprise known as the Bush administration does things like this. You know, here are people who are just getting by. They have one job. Their spouse has a job. Maybe they have a teenage son or daughter has a job. Maybe the spouse has a second job. They're struggling. Why doesn't Bush work with the healthcare industry and his cronies in the government to bring about single-payer health care in this country? So he stands there and tells people who are making minimum wage or less about his glorious plan for health savings accounts. Jesus, God. Well, that's drunk. Drunker is this ghoul, Dick Cheney, holding a little private tete-a-tete with Britt Hume on the Fox News Channel about his, Cheney's, drunken shooting spree on Saturday. The evidence has been thoroughly destroyed now. The stories have been cast into a mold that can't be challenged. The victim, poor Mr. Whittington, has been thoroughly swift-boated. Dumb old bastard got in the line of fire. And here's Dick Cheney on Fox News while another ghoul, Britt Hume, tries to present Dick Cheney as though he were a human being and not a flesh-eating creep from some midnight cemetery. And then to make things even insaner, after Britt Hume interviews Cheney, Shepard Smith interviews Britt Hume about his interview of Cheney. Fox News is wonderful, isn't it? It's a cesspool, isn't it? Oh, Jesus! What else do we have? Chertoff today. Wasn't he something, huh? Of the devil. This is a guy that was confirmed unanimously by the United States Senate, how long ago, to run the Department of Homeland Security. And what did he do today? Blame Michael Brown for the Katrina failures. You know it's bad when Republicans are calling for Chertoff's resignation, but it's so typical of the Bush crime family. Somebody accused me of getting involved, or Democrats getting involved, a circular firing squad about the Paul Hackett story last night. Jesus. The Bush crime family, they get in a circle too, but they always fire outward. It's incredible. It's just incredible. There's Chertoff, and all of a sudden, did you watch any of it? This guy who has the persona of one of Satan's chief lieutenants all of a sudden sits there and looks like the little pissant that he really is. A nothing. A creepy little cadaverous man sitting there just immersed in failure. Failure oozing out of every pore. Well, that's fine. Just a reminder of how incompetent the Bush crime family really is. But hey, Department of Homeland Security, the biggest bureaucracy created in this country since the 1930s. And this guy sits at the head of that mountain. And what is the Department of Homeland Security charged with doing? They're charged with taking care of Bush's most prominent obligation to protect the American people. Oh, my God. Now, right before the program began tonight, I got an email from a guy named Philip Racule in San Diego. He has a blog. You might want to check it out. Pracule.livejournal.com. His last name, you spell it P-R-A-C-U-E-L. P-R-A-C-U-E-L. .livejournal.com. And Philip writes to me, their website boasts for more than 35 years, NBC Nightly News has been a trusted source of news and information every night for millions of Americans. Philip writes, that seems to be a thing of the past because NBC has become the Fox News Network's little brother. Tonight you would have thought the lead story would have been about the additional evidence of torture of Abu Ghraib. It wasn't. The lead story was Cheney taking responsibility for shooting his friend. What Brian Williams and Tim Russert, though, didn't tell the viewer was that this was a pre-taped and edited interview with Fox News. They didn't wonder why Cheney didn't simply give a press conference instead of doing a well-rehearsed interview with Brit Hume. They want to paint Cheney as human, which is a stretch, and having concern. I guess he only feels remorse and sadness when it's a millionaire he nearly kills. We already know he doesn't give a damn about dead Iraqi children. The other bit that smacks of propaganda, Philip writes, was Williams announcing, and I saw this on ABC, not NBC, 12 hours of Saddam tapes were translated. This after the story showing the same images of rabid Muslims burning American flags. Williams read off the part where Saddam talked about weapons of mass destruction, but Williams failed to tell the viewer that the analysts believed the tapes were recorded in the 90s. His report led the viewer to believe that these tapes were recorded during the time when George W. claimed we had evidence of weapons of mass destruction. And it's being used now to spin the truth a bit more and as a last-ditch attempt to regain support for the illegal occupation of Iraq. Philip goes on, Williams also failed to let the viewers know that, again, according to the print story on NBC's website, NBC News has not listened to the tapes and has not been able to independently confirm the accuracy of the translations. Further, Philip writes, Brian Williams didn't say that it was, quote, the U.S. intelligence analysts that have confirmed to the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence that Saddam's voice on the audio tapes is authentic, unquote. Oh, God. And then Philip closes by saying, Williams failed to remind the viewers, given the fact that they had not heard the tapes, that the Bush crime family said that U.S. intelligence analysts had confirmed a lot of things that turned out to be lies and spins before we invaded Iraq. Well, thank you, Philip. That was astute viewing on your part. Like I said, I watched some of this and on ABC, and they had lengthy translations. There was a CBS, lengthy translations. And I'm sitting there thinking, so what? What does this have to do with anything? It doesn't. At least CBS or ABC, whichever one I listened to, did put a caveat at the end of the story that what they were talking about were plans to maybe someday reactivate weapons programs in Iraq. NBC, according to Philip here, didn't even do that. All right. So, anyway, thanks, Philip. I appreciate it. His blog site is Pracule. It's Pracule.livejournal.com. Check him out. That's good work. So, all right. When we come back here, very quick, we'll have a couple of cuts from Dick Cheney's mea culpa, such as it was on Brit Hume's program, and then Brit Hume's mea culpa, such as it was on Shepard Smith's program, or something like that. I don't know. Jesus, these people are such a joke. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Tell me who is our enemy. They say that we are free and we must fight to be number one. So when the army calls, I'll grab my TV, my car, and my gun.
and the TV God watches over me opens up.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the civil rights movement. And now we're trying to develop a civil rights movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
Ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Anyone past the hour, Dick Cheney. All right, let's do a little bit of this. He was interviewed on this freak Brit Humes program. This has to be one of the strangest comments I've heard from any shooter, much less a vice presidential shooter. Now keep in mind, poor Cyborg Dick, he missed his chance. The government offered him five chances to go legally hunt and kill other human beings, and he turned them all down. Got five deferments. Knocked up his old lady specifically to get I've got a pregnant wife deferment. Hit out. Just a real cowardly bastard, unless it's shooting drugged birds. Now he has a hard time getting away without and out shooting other human beings. But he had his chance, didn't he? He had his chance. So here Cheney explains to Brit Hume that, it's not really the victim's fault. Poor old Mr. Harry Whittington. It's not his fault he got shot, like that was ever in question. Well, of course, right after this was made public, the swift-boating bastards went after the poor 78-year-old man lying in a hospital room. It was his fault, right? Remember that? I guess when you've ducked responsibility for as many crimes as Cheney has, you're accustomed to blaming the victim for everything. Everything. It's so rare that when any member of the Bush crime family takes responsibility for anything, there becomes like an oh my God minute when they do fess up to one of their crimes in a kind of a sobby, soppy, half-ass kind of way, as Cheney does. Hume says, you know all the procedures and how to maintain the proper line and distance between you and other hunters and all that. Your honor, sir, may I suck your feet? So how, in your judgment, did this happen?
Ultimately, I'm the guy who pulled the trigger.
No kidding.
Rounded it, Harry.
No kidding.
You can talk about all of the other conditions that existed at the time, but that's the bottom line. And there's no, it's not Harry's fault. You can't blame anybody else. I'm the guy who pulled the trigger and shot my friend. And I say that's something I'll never forget.
Yeah, I doubt if your friend will ever forget it either, you half-wit. Last comment here from Dick, the would-be killer. Well, actually, it's not the last comment. The last comment will be up in a second. Here he is. Cheney tries to explain why the ranch owner, Catherine Armstrong, went to the press instead of the bionic vice president, drunk killer Dick himself, or one of his staff, at least told the press he had gone on a drunken shooting spree. Then again, you got to wonder why he still isn't holding a press conference about this event. Instead, he's chatting up one of his buddies at Fox News 4 days after the fact. Maybe it took 4 days to sober up. Must have been quite the bender.
Catherine suggested, and I agreed, that she would go make the announcement, that is, that she'd put the story out. And I thought that made good sense for several reasons. First of all, she was an eyewitness. She'd seen the whole thing. Secondly, she'd grown up on the ranch. She'd hunted there all of her life. Third, she was the immediate past head of the Texas Wildlife and Parks Department, the Game Control Commission of the state of Texas, an acknowledged expert in all of this.
Yeah, right.
And that she wanted to go to the Corpus Christi Caller Times, which is a local newspaper, covers that area, to a reporter she knew.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that made good sense because you can get as accurate a story as possible from somebody who knew and understood hunting.
Uh-huh.
And then it would immediately go up to the wires and be posted on the website, which is the way it went out. And I thought that was the right call.
What do you think now?
Well, I still do. I still think that the accuracy was enormously important. I had no press person with me. I didn't have any press people with me. I was there on a private weekend with friends on a private ranch.
Ah, you rotten bastard. You have to have press people with you in order to notify the through the chain of command, the American public. We pay your salary, you jackass. It's on our money that you're out there shooting drugged birds, you half-wit. I don't give a damn where you're hunting. We pay your salary. You didn't have a press person with you. What do you do when you're sitting on the John and you're finished? You expect someone to come in and wipe you? Freak. Squinting in the Texas sun. Put it out.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. A consumer alert was recently reported in a leading consumer testing magazine. It warns, if you're sensitive to dust, avoid bagless vacuums. I would never make a bagless vacuum because they're filthy. My 8-pound Oreck XL is hypoallergenic. Try one free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. You'll breathe easier knowing it's an Oreck XL.
Hey, it's John Madden here to give you what every homeowner wants, a great excuse to go to the hardware store. This Saturday, February 18th, is the Ace Hardware Bag Sale. For one day only, save 20% on whatever you can fit in a bag. So come in this Saturday only, February 18th, and save big. Ace, the helpful place. Discount off regular price of in-stock merchandise. Additional exclusions may apply. See participating store for details.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
I'm so glad you got tickets to this concert.
Yeah, definitely. This guy's put on a killer show.
Great, let's go.
Wait, it's just the open band. Let's get a little stone first. It's crazy strong. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, The Anti-Drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
No matter what you do, work can be stressful. And all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a doctor's night guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth and put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Relieve the nightly grind with the doctor's night guard in the oral care section.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's More Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Okay, back to Dead-Eyed Dick Cheney, interviewed on the Nazi News Network, Fox, Brit Hume's program tonight. Last comment from Kill a Dick. As you listen to this, it makes you wonder if these moral midgets have ever empathy for anything at all. If they have any remorse or sympathy or human feelings in their bloody bionic hearts. Hume asked Cheney to describe the scene after the shooting.
The image of him falling is something I'll never never be able to get out of my mind. I fired and there's Harry falling. And it was, I'd have to say, one of the worst days of my life at that moment.
Oh, really, Dickie? Oh, probably a safe bet it was one of Harry's worst days, too, you unfeeling creep. Who cares about how you felt? You shot a man! Because you're an incompetent ass, and then you gave him a heart attack, and we're supposed to feel bad because it was a bad day for you? Oh, that's right. It ruined your quail murdering expedition. And you didn't get to go out the next day either, as you planned. Well, you had your girlfriend there. I'm sure she cheered you up that night, huh? How nasty of Harry to get all shot up and ruin your weekend. Drunk, adulterous, draft-dodging bastard. Jesus. Now, before the Cheney interview aired on Fox, Shepard Smith chatted with Britt Hume, who had this to say about Cheney's drinking on the day he shot his friend.
You asked him about alcohol being consumed on Friday.
I did.
What did he say about that?
He said he'd had a beer at lunch, and that had been many hours earlier. It was dusk around 5 p.m. When this incident happened. And he said that they'd had lunch out in the field, a barbecue, he had a beer. But he said, you don't hunt with people who are drinking. He said, no one was drinking. He said they went back to the ranch afterward, took a break after that, and then went back out about 3 o'clock. And so you're 4 or 5 hours distance from the last alcohol that he consumed. And he said, nobody was drinking.
Oh, well, if he said nobody was drinking, Britt, well, then that's the end of it, right? Okay, nobody was drinking. Hey, nobody was drinking. Nobody was drinking. Nobody. There's weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Nobody was drinking. I only had one beer, Ossifer. Just one. And then the damnedest thing is I don't know what the hell it was. I was quail hunting, right? But all of a sudden, was it a jackal? Was it a little baby deer? I don't know. Something started twitching, so I shot it. Some bitch turned out to be old Harry Whitting, you know, Harry. But I wasn't drinking. All right, I might have had tea martinis, but I wasn't drinking. Nobody was drinking. Not me. Not Whittington. Not my hoe. Not the bitch that owns this ranch. I'm sorry, I call her a bitch. I don't mean she's a bitch. She's the head of the Texas Game and thing, you know. God. That's the one to know somebody at the paper. The one to know. What? Oh, why did I wait 18 hours before I filed an accident report? I don't have any press people there. Well, you know, eat me. You know, leave me alone. I don't have any drink. There's no drinking. Jesus, God. I carry around all the nuclear launch codes, but I don't have any staff. You know. I told Shepard Smith. No, it wasn't Shepard Smith. Who did I tell? Who is that ugly son of a bitch on Fox News? What? Fox News? Britium! Where did he get that name? Brit. What the hell's that? Is that French? Hume. Brit Hume. What kind of a name? Why do you have a normal name like Dick? That's my name. Dick. I'm a dick. I am a dick. I'm Dick. I'm a dick. It's the worst goddamn day of my life. You people are bugging me and asking me old press conferences and talk about This? You know, I'm out there with my girlfriend. We're cruising around. They got the top down. We're shooting stuff. You know, something runs in the field of fields, and, you know, I shot it. Turns out to be that jackass. Jesus God, will you people back off? Man, old Bob Schieffer's on the phone. We want an interview. Ah, screw you. And then who's that? Who's the broad that took the dead Peter Jennings place? Well, what's her name? The Latino one. What's her name? Vargas? Yeah, damn, boy. What? Ah, so we went to Fox. You know, it was either Brett Hume or that little pissant Sean Hannity. By the way, I'm getting a belly full of Sean Hannity, aren't you? Ignorant little bastard. I mean, I really appreciate sycophants. I appreciate people who just tell you what we're supposed to say. But he's an evil-looking little snot, isn't he? Man, I'm going to invite him hunting next. I didn't have anything to drink. Nothing to drink. Oh, okay. We had a couple of beers. I don't know. Said they were beers. We didn't have anything to drink. I took a couple of pills, but I don't know what they were. What were they? Was Limbaugh out here? Was that fat bastard out here with us? Ah, damn. No wonder I thought I saw a little animal run in front of me and shot it. Miserable human being. Jesus. Chertoff. Senate committee investigating the response to Hurricane Katrina. Got their ass in high gear today, didn't they? Huh? Had old of the devil sitting right there. Michael Chertoff. There he was. The guy confirmed unanimously by the Senate to take over the department a year ago. Department of Homeland Security. Going to keep the homeland secure. Yeah. Susan Collins, who I believe is the chairperson of that committee, Republican of Maine, told Mr. Chertoff, who was sitting there, it's funny, the wire services say his jaw was clenched. No, you dumbasses, that's the way he looks. That's what happens when you only eat human flesh, and you only eat it once a day, and that's at night. His jaw wasn't clenched. Susan Collins said, the federal government was supposed to lead, direct, and coordinate the federal response to Katrina was time and again late, uncertain, and ineffective. Really? Is that what you would call it, Senator Susan? Late, uncertain, and ineffective? How about murderous, treacherous, and degenerate? Chertoff, who was a senior official in the Department of Justice during the Bush-inspired terrorist attacks on 2001, he told the senators that Katrina and its aftermath, quote, it's been one of the most difficult and traumatic experiences of my life. See, here these sons of bitches go again. Everything is self-referential. Cheney blasts somebody in the face, the chest, and the side. Oh, it was a very bad day for me. I didn't have anything to drink. Chertoff is responsible for how many deaths? How many people died there? 1,400? 2,000? People still displaced? Chaos, death, and destruction, and it's the worst day of his life? Miserable bastards. So Brownie blamed Chertoff last week, and today, Chertoff points the finger back at Brownie. This is the crack National Defense Team. Here it is. These guys are as good with defending the homeland as Rumsfeld is with invading hapless third world countries. And both of them are as well versed in what they're doing as Bush is when he talks about his health savings deposit book bank account thingies for hourly wage workers who are making $6.25 an hour. And he's as good as Condoleezza Rice, who sat there today on her lumpy bony ass telling another congressional committee that she needs $25 million as a reach out or reach around for the Iranian people. You know, they're going to establish a television station to beam Farsi messages, programming, I don't know what, soap operas into Iran. No! Hey! Hey! Condi! You don't know what the new plan is, do you, sweetie? It's bomb them! Not send them television programs. But there she sat today with that little school marmish smug smirk on her face that you just want to, you want to take a Brillo pad. And, well, okay. But there she sat. There she sat. Telling the Congress there, the senators, she needs $25 million. Because we're going to, we're going to have an outreach program to the Iranian people. We'll have some of the Chertoff stuff when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Gone. I don't know why. Until this day, sometimes I cry. He didn't even say goodbye. He didn't take the time to lie. Bang, bang. He shot me down. Bang, bang. I hit the ground. Bang, bang. Awful sound, bang, bang. My baby shot me down.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm John. Like most moms, my wife Maggie makes sacrifices for the kids and me every day. After reading an article about another mom from Florida who lost 100 pounds using all-natural H57 Hoodia, she decided to finally do something for herself. She tried H57 Hoodia, and it worked. I've never seen her happier. Since she started taking H57 Hoodia, we can't keep up with her. Look, to me, she's always been beautiful, but now you can tell she feels that way, too. Thanks, H57. I love seeing Maggie smile.
Call now and try H57 Hoodia risk-free at 877-H57-DIET or visit myh57.com.
Welcome back to the Sports Beat with me, Dan Stevens, and we've got Nancy on a car phone.
Dan, I just missed a turn. Now should I take a right or a left here?
You know this is Sports Beat, don't you?
To easily get back on track when you miss a turn, you want to ask TomTom, not Dan.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you where you're going.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
We'll be right back.
Mention yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 9 before the hour, and keep in mind, it's being reported now, or it was earlier today, but I guess it's the, is it the Hartford Courant? There is a missing, there's a missing phone call tape. The Department of Homeland Security has not been able to find any recording of a crucial conference call 5 hours after Hurricane Katrina made landfall, even though it has transcripts of other key discussions recorded in the days before and after the storm struck, according to the, I believe this is the Hartford Courant. Senate investigators want to know who conferred and what they said on a 40-minute call that began at noon August 29th as the levees were being breached in New Orleans and government relief efforts were overwhelmed by the enormity of the storm.
We can't find them.
A spokesman for the Department of Homeland Security, and this is where you realize these sons of bitches destroyed them. Remember the question that was always asked to Nixon, well, why didn't you just destroy the tapes? Nixon was a megalomaniac. These people are mass killers. They want to get rid of the evidence. Nixon wanted to be caught. Stop me so I can resign. Stop me before I bomb another country. You know, this was back in the 70s, for God's sake. These people are saying, leave us alone so we can bomb another country. But a spokesman for the Department of Homeland Security, one Russ Nock, said his agency has nothing to hide. There you go. There it is. And that his agency, that'd be the Department of Homeland Security, has provided the Senate committee with more than 300,000 pages of documents. Woo! Knox said, we've been forthcoming throughout this process. But what about the 40-minute tape? What about the 40?
Yeah, we already sent you 300,000 pages.
Inky bastards. Jesus. All right. Chertoff. Probably the most incompetent member of the Bush crime family. This guy is charged with Homeland Security. Here he is in his opening statement.
We knew, and certainly FEMA most of all, because if there's anything that FEMA is expert in, it is hurricanes, knew that there was at least a potential, as the week before hurricane landfall came, that this would hit New Orleans with potentially catastrophic consequences.
Oh, well, you did know. Oh, well, really? Oh, gee, of the devil. Okay, you knew all that, huh? So Chertoff describes one teleconference, not the one that's missing, with Brownie and members of FEMA and other emergency operators that he, Chertoff, of the devil, participated in on Sunday during the hurricane weekend, the day before the levee breach. And yet again,
it's all Brownie's fault.
So I asked two questions.
Mm-hmm.
First, I said, is there anything in this department that is not fully available to you that you need, that you don't have, that I need to get to you? I'm paraphrasing.
Oh, okay.
Because it's all available.
Boats?
And Michael Brown said, I am in touch with the components, the Coast Guard. I specifically mentioned the Coast Guard. Everybody has been through this drill before. We are all engaged in working. And then because I knew that the Department of Defense had unique resources and talents, I asked the second question. I asked the question, have you reached out to DOD, the Department of Defense? Are their assets ready? Do you have what you need from them? Are you ready to go with them? And in the presence of the Defense Department representative sitting around the table, who I could see on the screen, Michael Brown said, yes, we are here with the Defense Department. We are engaged, and we are working, getting all the things that we need.
Okay, well, this is great comfort of the devil for the people who just this week are being thrown out of their motel rooms because Brownie's former agency no longer is going to pay the bill. And now we find out that the scam artists moved in like vultures around a dead, quail hunter, and scammed the system and walked off with millions of dollars that you incompetent bastards don't even have the ability to oversee. Even simple fraud. Ah, but it's Brownie's fault. Department of Defense? They're in Iraq, busy torturing people, you jack-legged freak. Department of Defense, who would that be? Rumsfeld?
Hey, Rumsfeld, we need a bunch of rescue vehicles over here.
Let them drown.
We need, Brownie needs some, can you at least give us some iodine and Band-Aids?
Let him bleed.
Okay.
We'll be back with more of the devil right after... the big break here. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Malloy on Air America Radio. This is the Nation Minute on Air America Radio.
Time and again, all we've asked of our government is simple honesty. In the war with Iraq, we wanted an honest assessment of the threat. According to the top CIA Middle East analyst, the administration cherry-picked information to support its objective. According to Michael Heck of a Job Brownie, the administration knew about the breach of the levees long before Bush and co. decided to end their vacations. Little has been done to alleviate the people's suffering. The relief effort has been surrounded in Halliburton-like corruption. And now, as we've learned, the first vice president in 200 years has shot someone and failed to inform the public for a day. But why should he? No one has held him accountable for his secretive Enron-like energy commission. No one's held him accountable for releasing Scooter Libby to smear Joe Wilson's wife. In all of Cheney's gunfire of the last couple of days, we've simply seen another case of the reckless machismo of this administration. Shoot first, blame others later. I'm Katrina Vandenhoevel from The Nation for Air America. For more, go to thenation.com.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement, and now we're trying to develop a Silver Rights Movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. Friendly fire, not an accident. The Army Inspector General is investigating why it took 9 months for a U.S. family to learn the death of a 21-year-old Ohio soldier was actually caused by friendly fire. Specialist Jesse Booty died in May of 2004. His family first told his armored vehicle was hit by a dump truck at a checkpoint in Iraq. The Army says Booty was killed in a crash, but the official cause listed now is friendly fire from fellow U.S. soldiers. His wife says she was told Polish troops were suspected of delivering the shots that killed her husband. The Army did not start an internal review until after the Washington Post detailed the family struggled to learn about his death. 19 people died this month during violent protests over those Prophet Muhammad cartoons. 3 deaths in Pakistan today included an 8-year-old boy. 11 died in Afghanistan, 5 in Pakistan, 1 each in Kenya, Lebanon, and Somalia. Chertoff says the response to Katrina was inadequate. The head of Homeland Security, Michael Chertoff, told the Senate committee it was woefully inadequate. He was questioned by Senator Carl Levin and others, and he criticized former FEMA boss Michael Brown. Chertoff says he accepts responsibility, what he calls the many lapses surrounding the response to Katrina. The top Democrat on the committee, Joe Lieberman of Connecticut, says disaster workers, quote, ran around like Keystone cops, uncertain about what they were supposed to do or uncertain how to do it. Voters to decide in November whether to ban same-sex marriages in Idaho. By an almost 3-to-1 margin, state senators passed a proposed constitutional amendment declaring marriage between a man and a woman will be the only domestic legal union in Idaho. Opponents argue there is a state law on the books already defining marriage as a union between a man and a woman. Supporters say the constitutional change would stop judges from overturning that law. The measure to put the question on the ballot also passed the Idaho House by a 53-17 vote. The High Court in New Jersey heard gay marriage arguments today with dozens of activists gathered outside. Members of the Supreme Court in New Jersey asked questions of lawyers over whether same-sex couples should be able to marry. 7 longtime gay couples are suing the state for the right to marry. They say marriage is a right, and barring them from marriage is a form of discrimination. So far, Massachusetts, the only state in America where gay couples can marry. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. All right, back to the hearings today of Chertoff and Department of Homeland Security and the complete mismanagement of this this catastrophic event that occurred last August and September. It's just unbelievable. These people are in charge of what? Report released today, of course, by Republicans on this committee sharply criticizes the Bush administration's handling of the whole thing, and the report charges Chertoff with executing his responsibilities, quote, late, ineffectively, or not at all, end quote. The report said the whole thing was horrifying. It said that if the attack on this country engineered by the Bush crime family of September 11th was a failure of imagination, you see, they still go by the official story that's out there, then Katrina was a failure of initiative because it was known that the U.S. Gulf Coast was positioned to be severely damaged by a storm like this. The report says this crisis was not only predictable, it was predicted. Well, so was the attack on the United States by Osama bin Laden, you Republican whores. Why don't you put out a report on that? Let's all pretend that what happened on September 11th is the way it's been spun by the Bush crime family. Okay, just for the sake of it. Why don't you cowardly Republican whores put out a real report on September 11th that says essentially the same thing? The crisis was not only predictable, it was predicted by what you people insist was the chief perpetrator. Oh, that's right. It's just a fiction. Never mind. Christopher Shays, who's a Republican from Connecticut and a member of this gang of 11 Republicans, said, quote, the president was clearly misinformed. Again, Chris? Again? Is he misinformed about everything? Shays went on to say, we had a tabletop exercise, Hurricane Pam, that predicted that at level 4, the dam was going to be breached. So the president was misinformed. Again, Christopher Shays? Yet again? Cheney almost murders somebody. He's not told the intelligence on the attack on this country, if we go by the official story, was completely skewed. And Bush was misinformed, and he's misinformed here. Has anyone misinformed him about his Social Security a rehab plan? Is Bush ever informed, or is it always misinformed? On September 11th, in an interview with ABC News' Diane Sawyer, Bush said he didn't think that anyone knew that the New Orleans levees could be breached. Jesus H. Christ, this is the President of the United States? This is somebody who has access to how many times you've gone to the doctor and for what? And this twerpy little bastard claims that he didn't know the levees could be breached? When they ran exercises on this and they knew it could be? Oh, that's right. He's the president. He's busy. The report says, if this is what happens when we have advance warning, we shudder to imagine the consequences when we do not. And then it says, 4.5 years after 9/11, America is still not ready for prime time. Oh, God, I wish they would drop the Saturday Night Live references. Jesus Christ, 25 years ago, that was funny. Not ready for prime time. It's not funny anymore, you Republican whores. Hurricane Katrina killed 1,300 people. It displaced millions. It caused more than $150 billion in damage. And you Republican snots say America's not ready for prime time? Christopher Shays says, the White House was clearly in a fog. No, Chris, George Bush was clearly in a fog. He goes on to say, Chertoff, the head of Homeland Security, was clearly detached. No, no, Chris, he's not detached. He's insane. He's a human flesh eater. And he says, Brownie was clueless and negligent. No, Brownie was worried about whether or not his sleeves should be rolled up or rolled down. And then we have the missing 40-minute conference call. These guys make Rosemary Woods look like a piker. Look it up. So let's do Chertoff here. Chertoff describes his astonishment over Brownie's testimony that he wanted to bypass Chertoff to get something done on Katrina. Senator Collins had asked this question. Why, in view of Mr. Brown's open disdain for the Department of Homeland Security and his criticisms of the National Response Fund, why would you want to have that person as the principal federal official? And how do you think that would improve the ability of the department to respond to Katrina, to have an individual who was disdainful of the whole process?
I had attributed the problems I had sometimes engaging with Mr. Brown to just the overwhelming pressures of the situation itself. I have to tell you, it was astonishing to me to hear the testimony of Mr. Brown concerning his decision, apparently, by his own admission, as the PFO on the ground, to deliberately bypass the department and not to deal with us.
PFO, let me see. Pussyfoot octopus? No. Patronizing freakoid? No. That must mean principal federal officer? Is that what that means? Collins is still not convinced it's all Brownie's fault. So she continues, you did seem curiously disengaged in the disaster to me, and the best example of that is on Tuesday morning, the day after landfall, when you're aware of the significant failures, Mr. Chertoff, in the levees, and you're aware, Mr. Chertoff, that the city of New Orleans is flooding rapidly, and yet you make the decision to continue with your schedule to fly to Atlanta with Secretary Leavitt to attend a conference on avian flu.
So I was mindful of the issue of breaching because I knew that if we had a substantial breach, I don't mean a small breach, that would pose a second set of problems. I'm sure we'll get into the question of why I didn't hear about emails that came later that night, but I will tell you at least when I went to bed, it was my belief, and it was somewhat fortified by things I saw on TV, that actually the storm had not done it the worst that had been imagined.
Oh, my God, it's not about the storm, you jack-legged half-wit. It's about the levees. It's about the flooding. And you did know about it. And I like the way these guys sit there over and over and over again and re-describe and re-describe and re-describe what any competent 10th grader already knows. They ran exercises. They knew the levees would breach. New Orleans sits in a bowl. They knew what would happen. They knew there would be death and destruction and chaos, and the sons of bitches just sat there. Nothing. I will never get those images out of my head, never. Americans begging, help us. Do you remember the scene from outside the Superdome? Chanting, help, 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 help. Do you remember that? Those were Americans. Those were Americans. Jesus.
Once again, the color of my skin.
FEMA directors work 24 hours a day. And Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
No one feels my pain. Once again, the color of my skin reminds me things ain't changed.
You didn't have to. You didn't have to. You didn't have to. You didn't have to. You didn't have to.
listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Our apologies, but in the interest of bettering the future of your teeth, we're going to resort to a rather unpleasant tactic. Coercion. We will play the sound of someone grinding their teeth at night until somebody out there buys a doctor's night guard. Wear it at night to cushion and save your teeth. Come on. Somebody? There. Thank you, Kelly Kaplan of Paramus, New Jersey, for buying a doctor's night guard and relieving the nightly grind in the oral care section.
Hi, my name is Millie. I'm a real person from Chicago. I have been fighting my weight for many years. After hearing an inspirational radio commercial about a mother from Florida who lost 100 pounds using all-natural H57 Hoodia, I was empowered to try it. H57 helped me lose over 65 pounds. When I pass by a mirror, I can't help but smile. Thanks, H57. I love seeing myself smile.
Call now for your risk-free supply of H57 Hoodia. Call 1-877-H57-DIET. Try it risk-free for 30 days or visit myh57.com.
Anybody anticipated the breach of the levees?
Jesus, God. They lie and lie and lie and lie. All right, back to Of the Devil. Chertoff today.
You know, now he's been blaming Brownie for everything. I can't believe, you know, he was sitting there at Department of Defense. I could see it on the telescreen, or I mean, you know. So now, after he and Brownie are playing ping pong with a big ball of responsibility, it's yours. No, it's his. No, it's yours. No, it's his. No, it's yours. No, it's his. No, it's yours. No, it's his. Now he seems to, well, just listen. Here's Chertoff again.
On Monday, I thought about whether I should go down to the hurricane area. Oh. And we actually had a discussion about that in my office, about whether I ought to go down to Baton Rouge, where the emergency operation center and Mike Brown was. And I determined not to do it because I was concerned about coming in and actually interfering with the operators in the first 24 hours of the post-hurricane operation.
But you've said you thought Brownie was an incompetent ass, and you still did nothing. No, you lying little cadaverous-looking bastard. You didn't do anything because you didn't know what to do. And because you are a card-carrying, dues-paying member of the Bush crime family. And that means let him die. It's a nice property down there. You know, how are you going to move 200,000 people off their property? How are you going to do that, huh? I could, damn, let me see. You know, if a hurricane would hit, they're just Negroes. Joe Lieberman, who happens to be on this committee, stands up or steps up or does something. And he asked the question, how about
on the weekend before the storm hit New Orleans, knowing that the predictions were for a very large number of displaced people, why not mobilize federal Department of Transportation resources? We had a witness here from DOT, and they said they began, is there a toilet around here? They said they began to get ready to deliver buses under a standby contract, but they weren't. I don't know. Do you have a comment?
I will acknowledge to you. I did not call the Department of Transportation and say I want to see the plan. On Thursday, actually on Tuesday and Wednesday,
after landfall,
I expected to then see the plan, and my heated conversation with Mr. Brown, if I can describe it that way, on Tuesday, and my consistent, if I can use the word prodding, poking, and ultimately raising my voice about buses on Wednesday, led to a decision by the deputy and me on Thursday that we needed to simply take this away and get it done ourselves.
Nudging? Is that Yiddish? Yeah, I think it is. Mr. Chertoff, I know that you're Jewish. I know. I'm Jewish, okay? But nudge? People were drowning and dying, and you were nudging? No, nudge is what you do when your grandson is at his bar mitzvah and somebody's sitting next to you and they're talking over the rabbi. Then you nudge. You don't nudge when thousands of people, oh, God, how did I get on this committee? I got to go home and campaign. The sons of bitches are going to run somebody against me.
Nudge? What did he say if I can use the word nudge? Nudging the department? Jesus Christ. Moses, somebody, I don't know. Finally, a protester stands up and shouts his disgust at what happened that resulted in the New Orleans residents being displaced, dumped, left to rot and die, just as Chertoff was completing his statement.
Although I'm the secretary, I am not a hurricane operator. I do not have 30 years of experience managing hurricanes. I'm going to take responsibility for what the department did, but I'm also going to take responsibility for identifying solutions for the problems that we saw in Katrina.
Thank you for your statement.
But Sanders, but mothers and children are being thrown in the streets. Mothers and children are being thrown in the streets.
Sir, sir, this is not a public hearing today.
This is not America.
This is not America. They're being evicted. Why are they being thrown in the ground? It's hard. It's just hard. Listen, mister, I don't know who you were, but this is America. This is America. This has always been America.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
There were dark days of tax preparation, my friends, where you had to run around, get forms, or go to a franchise tax store and pay through the nose. But those days are over. There's this thing called the Internet and this website called TurboTax.com. Now you don't go to your taxes come to you. TurboTax asks you simple questions and fills out all the right forms. It checks for errors and calculations are guaranteed accurate. Now that's what I call progress. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
I'm Ben, and this is Psychic Connection, your source for spirits and paranormal. The caller is Meredith.
Ben, what's the easiest way to get around a city I've never been to?
The answer is kind of murky.
For the easiest route to any address in America, you want to ask TomTom, not Ben.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Easily move from car to car. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
Larry King here. You may have heard news about vitamin E lately. If you're like me and you believe in taking vitamin E to protect your health, here's something you should know. There's one vitamin E that's different. It's all-natural ester E. Only ester E protects its antioxidant benefits until your body's ready to use it. You get more than protection. You get advanced protection. Ester protection. Look for Advanced Protection Ester E and Ester C everywhere vitamins are sold.
now the man conservatives love to hate, it's Mike Malloy.
26 before the hour. You know, I don't know how you feel about New Orleans. I've spent more than a little time there. Went to Mardi Gras one time with three of my kids, two daughters and a son. Chris was, how old was Chris then, Kathy? He was 12, I think. I think he was 12 years old, Christopher. My daughters were in their 20s, early 20s, I think. Anyway, we took the train and went to Mardi Gras. And we stayed with some friends while we were down there. And the girls took Chris. And you know, I try to keep everybody on a tight leash. Because if you've ever been in the French Quarter after the parades, it's an absolute, I mean, really, panic-inducing crush. It gets real scary. People are really partying. They're really high. A lot of boobs flopping around, which Chris loved. You know, he's 12 years old. Oh, Dad, this is great! But and my girls, of course, were stepping into the bars getting hurricanes. And I looked around after a few minutes, and there's my 12 or 13 year old son, Chris, with a hurricane in his hand, and because he wanted to know what it was. And apparently, Wendy and Libby had been handing him, you know, my back was turned, handing him the big, you know, they give you those big souvenir plastic hurricane. They look like lanterns, I guess. Well, to make a long story short, it doesn't take much, I guess, when you're 12 years old. Within about 15 or 20 minutes, I thought, boy, this is a good way to lose custody of your son, because Chris was really reeling. I mean, that was the first time he had ever done anything like that. And you know, of course, I just raised Billy Hell with the girls, and they were all contrite and everything. They said, "We're sorry, Dad. It was Chertoff's fault," or something like that. But I have been down there without an unsettling episode like that. I've been to New Orleans. I loved it. I've been to the Jazz Festival. Been to Mardi Gras a couple of times. A lot of people are just writing the city off as dead. It's not dead. It's been mortally wounded by the incompetence, or not mortally, but deeply wounded by the incompetence of the Bush crime family, but it's not dead. It's not a dead city. It's not. It's New Orleans, for Christ's sake. And coming up is the New Orleans Jazz Festival. And I want you to go to their website, NOLA.com, NOLA.com/JazzFest. Just go to the website, NOLA, NOLA.com, /JazzFest. And I want you to look, it's on two weekends in, I think, March and April. And take a look at the performer lists on both of the weekends. Holy Yumpin' Yehoshaphat. What a group of performers. Hundreds of them are going to descend on New Orleans and do what New Orleans always does. Play music. Overcome. So no matter how much poison was injected into that city by the filthy, degenerate incompetence of the Bush crime family, that city's not dead, and that city will probably make a comeback, not because of you know, how much reconstruction Halliburton or the rest of these filthy bastards do, but because of the spirit of the people that live there. And they'll come trickling back. They'll come back. People will come back. New Orleans is New Orleans. It is unique In the entire range of American cities. New Orleans is unique. It will come back. So go to the website, and if you're not doing anything around the Jazz Fest time, it's worth it to go. Good God Almighty, the music! Every place you turn around in that city on those two weekends, music, 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 music. Every place, you can't. You can't not be within the range of... they even have a Zydeco Klezmer band, I think, that's going to be playing klezmer music. Ah, I love it. All right. It's It's time to take a couple of phone calls, I think, here. Let's start with Joseph, who's called in from Las Vegas. Joseph, we're going to bump you right up the front of the line because you want to talk about New Orleans. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
It's going pretty good. How are you?
I'm not doing so well, you know. I mean, I hear you talking about this. And I was born and raised in New Orleans, and I happened to be there when we evacuated. And I just don't know what the country's coming to, Mike. You know, nobody wants to be responsible for anything. You know, I've had people ask me questions. You know, I'm African American, so naturally people are going to ask me about the comments that my mayor's made. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, don't you realize that it's so much bigger than this?
Yeah.
You know, it's so much bigger than politics, and everybody wants to blame someone. And I've seen the T-shirts with Aaron Broussard and Ray Nagin and Kathleen Babineau-Blanco. I've seen the T-shirts, you know, calling them the Three Stooges, and I'm thinking to myself, you really don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
I was there, Mike. I was born and raised there. I've lived in Las Vegas for the past 3.5 years, and I had always intended to move back. And now more than ever, I just feel a need to be there. And just like you mentioned about Jazz Festival, I was on the website about 20 minutes ago.
Huh.
And I thought to myself, because I hadn't been, you know, I'm 32 years old, and I actually haven't been. It's been about 17 or 18 years since I've been. I went when I was a little kid,
mm-hmm.
with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an amazing thing, and I think... You know, sometimes, Mike, I think people just don't care. I think I really believe that, and I hate to say it, but I look at the news, and all I hear is what this guy did to his wife and kids. And I mean, this is something that does happen. I mean, we're talking about thousands of people, and the government wants to give, you know, $6.2 billion for the entire state of Louisiana to rebuild.
Yeah.
Now, my city was underwater, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I look at photographs, and I see people who I know, and I have family members who were trapped inside of their attics, and they drank water from fish tanks, Mike.
Mm,
they were in other people's homes in on the second floor because their house only had one floor, so they had to swim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, elderly people swimming through 15 and 20 feet of water, getting across the street, and drinking water from a fish tank. And sitting on the roofs for 5 and 7 days, and someone asked me, well, why is it the government's responsibility to get people out? I said, it's not the government's responsibility to get people out. It's the government's responsibility to take care of people after things happen.
Yeah, and I get tired of that question. I've had a belly full of that question. We are the government. You know, somehow people got in their mind that the government is something that sits over there. By damn in hell, I am the government because I send people to Congress. Most of them are fools and jackasses. But when people talk about the government, look, this is my country. And when there is a disaster like this, you damn well better believe I expect the government to respond every single way it can and save folks and act like they are decent human beings and not trash.
We the people, Mike.
Man, I hate it. Well, I'll tell you what, it's going to take people like you, Joseph, who have the spirit, who have the dedication, who have the roots to in that city to bring it back. I can't advise anybody to do anything. I can't tell folks to move into an area that's been slammed like that. But you know, in listening to you and listening to some other folks, it's not going to take outsiders to do this. The people who lived in New Orleans, if they want New Orleans back, are going to have to go back and bring it back. You know that as well as I do. It's going to take the people who created the energy of that city, and I don't care what the energy was. I know it rode high and it rode low. I know that city had corruption. I know the governor's office had corruptions. Jesus, what city doesn't? But the energy, the life force that existed in New Orleans was something that the rest of the country could feed off of and did feed off of it. And in so many ways without even knowing they were feeding off of it. So it's going to take people like you, the people who live there, the people who have roots there, to bring it back. You know that, don't you?
I do.
Yeah. Well, I wish you the best and stay in touch with the program. When you leave Las Vegas and go back to New Orleans, stay in touch, all right?
I certainly will. Thank you, Mike.
All right. Take care, Joseph. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. Gina is calling from New Orleans, I believe. Gina, you calling from New Orleans?
Yes, I am. Well, welcome. Just outside New Orleans. Mike, first of all, I want to say how much I love you.
Oh, that's sweet. Listen, cut your radio down, okay?
I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's all right, because I can hear me coming back, and it's driving me crazy. It's like, oh, my God, I sound like that? That's all right. That's all right.
Yeah, first of all, I want to say just how much I love you.
Well, that's very sweet.
You say everything I think.
That's kind of strange, right?
Well, no. Well, maybe, but you speak my thoughts.
Well, I know. No. I don't mean it strange. Because you know there are folks that you know I can listen to, that know exactly what I'm thinking, what I'm saying, what kind of feelings are going through me, and when they start to articulate or bring it out. You know, I'm right there, and I think to myself, you know, that person's dead on. That's exactly what I'm thinking, exactly what I'm feeling.
Yes.
Always kind of freaks me out because it feels like somebody's running around inside my head. Hey, hold on, Gina. Don't go away. We got a break. We'll come back and finish the call. This is Air America.
Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Thanks a lot for the ride home. Hey, no problem. Just because you're a sophomore doesn't mean I can't talk to you.
Thanks.
Hey, while you're here, want to take a hit of some weed? Some good stuff. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Hey, it's John Madden here to give you what every homeowner wants, a great excuse to go to the hardware store. This Saturday, February 18th, is the Ace Hardware Bag Sale. For one day only, save 20% on whatever you can fit in a bag. So come in this Saturday only, February 18th, and save big. Ace, the helpful place. Discount off regular price of in-stock merchandise. Additional exclusions may apply. See participating store for details.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Thank you.
Mike Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
It's about 9 before the hour. We're talking with Gina, who has phoned in from New Orleans. All right, Gina, thanks for holding on. Where were we? Oh, that's right. You were telling me you love me.
Yeah, I was just telling you how much of my voice you are.
Okay, yeah.
I watched Bush's asinine State of the Union speech,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't say a damn thing about New Orleans as far as I was concerned.
Right.
He didn't say a damn thing about the city.
Did you watch any of the testimony today with Chertoff about how the city of New Orleans and the people of New Orleans were just kind of bitch slapped, backhanded, stomped on, had his hair pulled by these freaks?
No. What time was this today?
It was the hearings today. We played. You must have tuned in late. We played some of the sound bites of Michael Chertoff, the head of Homeland Security, talking about how it wasn't his responsibility. And the other day it was Michael Brown, the head of FEMA, talking about it wasn't his responsibility. In the meantime, the people in New Orleans...
Oh, no, but I did read about it on the Internet.
Yeah, okay, you can do that, yeah.
Yeah, I did. I did read about that on the Internet. You know what, Mike? You know what? Since I'm hearing about all these other countries who want to help us, I've already heard about how Paris wants to help us.
Right.
I've already heard about how the Netherlands are willing to help us.
Right.
And Jordan, one of the poorest countries in this world, is willing to help us rebuild.
Right.
And we can't get a dime from goddamn Washington.
Well, the money is there. It's the attitude that comes with it and the restrictions on the money. And the money is not being given to the people it should be given to. It's being filtered through Dick Cheney's companies and...
It's being filtered through where? I'm sorry?
It's been being filtered through Dick Cheney's companies and George Bush's former campaign manager, this guy named Joe Albaugh, who quit FEMA and set himself up as a consultant to handle all the business opportunities in New Orleans. They're sick people, Gina. These are real criminals.
They are criminals. I love it when you say the Bush crime family, because that's exactly what the hell they are.
Well,
they're a bunch of damn criminals.
Yeah, I hear you. Listen, thanks for checking in, Gina. I do appreciate it. I think the governor and the mayor and the people in New Orleans ought to seriously consider the offers from the Netherlands, the offers from Jordan, the offers...
Yeah. They really should. Those three countries that I mentioned should not be turned away. And as far as I'm concerned, Mike, it's like you said, the money is there, but it's not being given to the people that it needs to be given to.
Right.
I consider this country a third world country.
It's in attitude. I would tend to agree with you. Thanks, Gina.
Thank you so much, Mike. Right. I love you. I love your program. Keep up the great work.
Well, thanks a lot.
You're a fantastic human being. I love you.
Well, okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. I'm glad you listen. I don't know how to react to that. But thanks for tuning in, Gina. Appreciate it. Marge. Is calling from northern Indiana. Hey, Marge.
Hey, Mike.
How are you?
Well, not bad for an old lady, I guess.
Right.
You wouldn't happen to have Al Gore's phone number, would you?
I certainly don't.
I'm stuck in his damn computer from hell, and I thought maybe he might be able to offer a little tech support since he invented the internet.
You have a computer?
No, not mine. The insurance company is supposed to be covering my medications.
Oh, their computer. That's right. Did you get that worked out?
No, hell no. Are you kidding me?
Well, what are you doing for your meds?
Paying full price.
Oh, well, I what can I say to that?
Right. Well, you know, I was just listening to you talk about New Orleans and whatnot, and one of the things that they're doing in Indiana here, they're selling off the Indiana Toll Road. Well, no, they're not selling it. They're leasing it for 75 years.
Yeah.
I'm reading in the paper last week where Bush wants to sell 300,000 acres out west of forest land so he could pay for rural schools.
Yeah, isn't that nice? 300,000.
These damn greedy bastards, we're not going to have anything left of this country if they keep selling it off.
It's getting close to that. But Bush and Cheney and the rest of these people, they don't care. Remember, Marge, these folks, going all the way back to the Secretary of the Interior during the Reagan administration, they all believe the rapture is just around the corner. So what difference does it make? Sell it off, burn it off, blow it off, destroy it, mine it, dig holes in it. It doesn't matter to these people.
They're such a lying bunch of sacks of crap. I swear to God, they make you crazy. You know, yesterday, the Dow Jones went up over 100 points.
Yeah.
The price of a barrel of crude was down below $60 for the first time in many weeks, maybe months. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
What was this? Wait a minute.
You lost your train of thought.
And you go to the gas station, and you expect that the be down a little. It was up 10 cents. I mean, God forbid that BP, Amoco, and ExxonMobil don't make any more profit.
Yeah,
they're getting leases from the government to drill in the Gulf, and they're making they can't change that law. I mean, that's a contract after all, my God.
Yeah, that windfall, $7 billion in tax breaks to the oil companies because the law was written, 20 years ago for offshore drilling, and now that these whorish companies are awash in cash, they're all saying, well, you can't change the law. We're just going to take another $7 billion out of the pockets of America. Isn't that nice, Marge?
And we're selling off land to pay for schools. I mean, come on.
I know. Marge, they all are. Listen, thanks for checking in. Stay in touch,
care.
Okay? All right. Take care, Marge. We'll be back after this break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm John. Like most moms, my wife Maggie makes sacrifices for the kids and me every day. After reading an article about another mom from Florida who lost 100 pounds using all-natural H57 Hoodia, she decided to finally do something for herself. She tried H57 Hoodia, and it worked. I've never seen her happier. Since she started taking H57 Hoodia, we can't keep up with her. Look, to me, she's always been beautiful, but now you can tell she feels that way, too. Thanks, H57. I love seeing Maggie smile.
Call now and try H57 Hoodia risk-free at 877-H57-DIET or visit myh57.com.
I am Dr. Chen, and I'm taking your love life calls. And here's Kevin. Go ahead.
Jen, what's the easiest way to get to 79 Williams Ave?
Follow your heart?
For the easiest route to any address, you want to ask TomTom, not Jen.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen, and a helpful voice guides you on your way.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. Vice President Dick Cheney is speaking out about last weekend's accidental shooting during a quail hunting trek in Texas. In an exclusive interview with the Fox News Channel, Cheney said no one else is to blame for the incident except himself. Cheney accidentally shot 78-year-old lawyer Harry Whittington as he turned suddenly to shoot at some quail.
Bird flushed and went to my right, off to the west.
I turned and shot at the bird, and at that second saw Harry standing there.
Whittington is recovering in a Corpus Christi hospital. He is still in the intensive care unit, and he is listed in stable condition. He will remain hospitalized for another week. Cheney said immediately after the shooting he was not concerned with getting the story out to the press.
My first reaction was not to think I need to call the press. My first reaction is my friend Harry's been shot, and we've got to take care of him.
Texas officials say the Cheney shooting was an accident, and no charges will be filed against him. In Connecticut, the story would be different. State Representative Mike Lawler from East Haven is co-chair of the legislature's Judiciary Committee, and he says state law is specific on this issue.
The law in Connecticut says if you shoot somebody and injure them while you're hunting by accident, then it's a misdemeanor punishable by up to 1 year in prison, a $2,000 fine, and a 10-year suspension of your hunting license. If you actually kill a person, then it's a 5-year felony, assuming it's an accident.
Lawler says, like most states, Connecticut passed a law after numerous instances of negligent hunters accidentally shooting other people. A Senate panel had some choice words Wednesday for Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff. The Senate Homeland Security Committee roundly criticized Chertoff for the government's botched response to Hurricane Katrina. Chertoff cited the unprecedented nature of Katrina, and he accepted full responsibility for everything that goes on under him, the bad and the good. A dust storm is being blamed for a fatal accident south of Phoenix, Arizona. One person was killed and a second was critically injured in an 8-vehicle chain reaction crash. The accident involved big rig trucks, a motorhome and travel trailer, and several passenger vehicles. 13 other people were taken to a hospital with less serious injuries. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. Don't forget this hour coming up in about a half an hour, the tonight's reading from Part 1, Chapter 8 of Orwell's 1984. A couple of emails here. This is from Cyberloon. Cyberloon points out that the Bush dictatorship is contemplating to continue to give Big Oil this multi-billion dollars. It's either 7 or 11, whatever it is, in royalties. That the government should collect and rebuild New Orleans with, right? I mean, hasn't the city of New Orleans and the offshore area of New Orleans been just like a battered wife where it concerns the oil companies, right? So here is this royalty break that the already swimming in money oil companies are going to get from Bush, obviously, from Cheney, obviously, because they are whores of the oil industry. They are part of the oil industry. They are pimps as well as whores. But supposing that money were collected from these rapacious corporations and told, look, we're going to use this $7 billion or this $11 billion, and we're going to rebuild New Orleans. But a Cyberloon writes, hell no, they're going to give it to the poor oil companies. The royalties are coming from the oil companies that are pumping oil from our land. Check it out. Yeah, well, I hear you. You know. But it's not going to change. Nothing is going to change. There might be a bit of change if the Republicans can be removed from power. But when the Democrats get in, I mean, you've seen it before, haven't you? From Don in Baltimore, Don writes, the Bush crime family again on Katrina using the same old cover-up scam. They have so many crimes and scams going on there in constant cover-up mode to fool the suckers who buy their constant BS. The 9/11 alibi was intelligence failure. The Iraq war was based on faulty intelligence, and now Katrina and Bush and Chertoff were not informed that people were dying in New Orleans. All of it, nothing but BS lies to us who know the truth, thanks to you and others. Now Cheney is up to his old lies again. Here's a guy fingered by his right-hand man Libby for Plamegate. Now he and the media are covering up Birdshot Gate. Like I said before, outside of your show and Randy's and Sam Cedar and Janine Garofalo, the whole nation is in some Bush Orwellian world. Like you say, what's it going to take before enough people stand up and say enough? It's from Don in Maryland. Let's do some phone calls here. All right. Logan. Let's go to Logan, who's calling from New York City. Logan, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, man? I met you at the Raven, and I'm also the guy who sent pictures to Marge of you and Kathy.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Logan. How you doing?
Good, man. I always wondered why you don't call it the Bush Terrorist Organization instead of the Bush Crime Family. But,
well, I think it's because I started calling it the Bush Crime Family long before the attacks on this country that were to some extent engineered by the Bush Crime Family. So that's all. I just kind of got used to it.
Yeah, and I also think the voting machine should be called Mass Death Enabling Machines. And I think that they... I'm wondering when there will be a huge protest directly on that issue, the voting machine issue. It seems like that's just where all the problems have started.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And
all the problems are continuing.
Yeah, and it's just amazing that, like, I mean, there just isn't some organization that isn't really just wanting to go down there and just sit down on the, you know, around the Capitol and not move until those things are shot to the moon.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
I know.
And I think that they're planning on stealing the next one. Maybe we should have a protest the day after they do that.
Well, it's just time. Oh, Jesus, it's time to get these people out of office. You know, every day I feel like, you know, another instance of their murderous incompetency, their lies, their deceit, their fraud. Every single day, more of it and more of it and more of it is revealed. And at some point, there has to be a tipping point where the American public will say, okay, that's it. That's enough. I think some of the Republican members of Congress, even though the Republican Party is a collection of miscreants, whores, thugs, thieves, cheaters, and liars, it's even gotten too blatant for them. See, they don't mind as long as it's done behind the scenes. But when it's all out front for the proles to see, then the Republicans get a little pissed off, a little antsy, a little scared, too. So, it's to that point. These bastards in the Bush crime family, they don't even bother to cover their spore anymore. They don't, they just drop a load wherever they want to drop a load. They don't even push leaves over it. They just walk away. And I think even some Republicans now, as sick and degenerate as the Republican Party is, it's too much for them. You know, it's like steal a little, go ahead, commit a little fraud, but don't steal too much. Don't take a lot. Don't get greedy. There's billions here. There's trillions here. Don't get greedy. Don't get greedy. Jesus, I hate them.
Yeah, but the thing is that they have to realize, the Republicans have to realize, that there's a small subset within them that is taking all the power. Like, people like McCain, people, sensible Republicans will never get any kind of power. And I wonder why they don't see that. Because
they're Republicans. They don't see squat. What can I say? Hey, listen, thanks, Logan. Mark. Thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in. Take care.
Appreciate it.
All right. A couple of emails here about the Hackett story that we were covering the other night about Paul Hackett dropping out after pressure from the Democrats. And both these emails come from Ohio. First one is from Mark. He's from my hometown. He says, Mike, I'm a Hungarian from East Toledo. My dad was a steel worker. He died at the age of 52. So you know I'm pissed. Paul Hackett should now campaign for Sherrod Brown. Now that he is confronted with actual freshman reality. Sorry, but I'm picturing the advice that Gandhi or King would be giving him right now. Not our sorry whining asses. Yes, I'm disgusted, but if he were to say that the real enemy is DeWine, he could rise to an absolute level of future credibility. All the other stuff you and Gary Hart are saying is lightweight BS. Yeah, they screwed him. Yeah, it's infuriating beyond imagination. But the hardcore reality is that the Republicans are the enemy and the Democrats have picked their candidate and they will have extreme hell to pay and actually have to reform if Paul Hackett can make Sherrod Brown win. It feels rotten to me, too, but we should shut the hell up and deal with it. Well, that's how they talk in East Toledo. Right. All right. Okay, Mark. All right. All right. This is from Ruth, who's from Middletown, Ohio. And Ruth says, I wanted Hackett. But who cares? This is the most corrupt state in the union now. I really wonder if my vote counts. And I'm white in a small town or smaller town and pretty safe to eliminate from the attacks, but I feel left out of the vote. How can inner city voters who might be black feel after last time? DeWine in 2006, period. Not because we want him or vote for him, because they want him. Yeah. A couple of folks from Ohio checking in. All right, we're moving right along here in terms of the clock. And once again, there's just not enough time. Jesus, we need to have a 7-hour a day radio program, Kathy. Right? Can we handle that? No? Okay. But there was another hearing today about four American internet and technology companies, Google, Yahoo, Microsoft, and Cisco. And the hearing was so thick with hypocrisy that I just have to mention it. It won't take long, but I'm going to do it when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Perfectly comfortable, always been. jump into our friends.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Honey?
Yeah?
Can you keep the kids busy? I'm doing our taxes.
Oh, that's right. We're using TurboTax this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. TurboTax asks these simple questions, and it automatically fills in all the right forms.
Really?
Uh-huh. TurboTax also checks for errors, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Well, what about deductions?
Found ones I didn't even think of.
Like those little tax deductions jumping on the sofa?
What?
The kids.
No, I remembered them.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy. Taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Flying monkey right blues. Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
It's about 22 past the hour. So there was another hearing today. All kinds of hearings going on in this one was in the House, the House of Representatives. Christopher Smith, he's a Republican of New Jersey, just got all over four American internet and technology companies, Google, Yahoo, Microsoft, and Cisco, for what Christopher Smith called, quote, a sickening collaboration with the Chinese government and for decapitating the voice of the dissidents there. Okay, you got that? All right. Now, what these hearings are about is they were aimed at getting the executives of these four companies to give a complete accounting of their business dealings in China. And to get out in the open the concern of critics who say these companies do business in China at the peril of human rights. Okay? This is such a joke. This is such a joke that hearings like this are being held in Bush's America. Human rights, my ass. Among the chief issues is the alteration of online products in the Chinese market to conform with the requirements of the semi-communist government there, the totalitarian, the combination of state fascism and totalitarianism that exists in China. It's not communism. Screw communism. It is fascism. Tom Lantos, a California Democrat, whose own committee, he has a Congressional Human Rights Caucus. And he invited these four companies to speak 2 weeks ago. They told him to go pound sand. And Lantos says, quote, I do not understand how your corporate leadership sleeps at night. Okay, so you see what's going on here. A real ass-kicking for the executives of these four companies. And that's the joke. Because Yahoo, Microsoft, America Online have voluntarily given billions of internet search requests to the Justice Department of the United States Bush government. Do you understand that? Here sit these hypocritical sons of bitches whining about the poor Chinese, while in this country, exactly the same thing is going on. Is content being blocked? Not yet. It's worse than that. It's much worse. AOL, Microsoft, Yahoo, they are voluntarily turning over what we're trying to get information about. Millions of Americans. This is, the LA Times says, the internet age equivalent of eavesdropping on our inner monologues. That's what they're doing here. But no, here sit these members of Congress whining about the Chinese. Why don't you sons of bitches focus on what's going here with your USA Patriot Act, huh? Did you vote for that, Lantos? Yeah, I think you probably did. Did you vote for it? Who's the other guy? Christopher Smith? Yeah, I bet you did, huh? And now a San Francisco-based digital civil liberties group has filed a class action lawsuit against AT&T. They're trying to end that company's participation in a domestic surveillance program being carried out by the National Security Agency. Every place you turn in this country, screw the Chinese. I don't give a damn about the Chinese. On any level. I hate their record. I hate what they represent. Yada, 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 yawn. But for American members of Congress, Senate and House, to have these fake-ass toy hearings about how the Chinese are doing this to these enormous American corporations. And the American corporations, they don't give a damn. They go right along. Why should they care? This is business. Human rights, oh, please. The sanctity or integrity of somebody's personal email account, oh, stop it. Stop it. But there they sit, Democrats and Republicans posturing for the proles back home. Oh, they are so concerned. They are so concerned. In the meantime, these evil sons of bitches that sit on these committees say nothing. Oh, okay, a few rumbles here and there. But the hearings that were going to be held by the Senate Intelligence Committee to investigate the scope and the extent to which the Bush crime family has violated the law, they're not going to happen. Olympia Snow and Mike DeWine and the rest of these little rabbity bastards have decided, no, we're not going to do it. Let's talk about the Chinese.
I don't ever need to prove myself to you.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, my name is Millie. I'm a real person from Chicago. I have been fighting my weight for many years. After hearing an inspirational radio commercial about a mother from Florida who lost 100 pounds using all-natural H57 Hoodia, I was empowered to try it. H57 helped me lose over 65 pounds. When I pass by a mirror, I can't help but smile. Thanks, H57. I love seeing myself smile.
Call now for your risk-free supply of H57 Hoodia. Call 1-877-H57-DIET. Try it risk-free for 30 days or visit myh57.com.
Hey, it's John Madden here to give you what every homeowner wants, a great excuse to go to the hardware store. This Saturday, February 18th, is the Ace Hardware Bag Sale. For one day only, save 20% on whatever you can fit in a bag. So come in this Saturday only, February 18th, and save big. Ace, the helpful place. Discount off regular price of in-stock merchandise. Additional exclusions may apply. See participating store for details.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement. And now we're trying to develop a civil rights movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at OperationHope.org.
We'll be right back.
6 before the hour. When we left off last night, Winston Smith has been wandering around in a section of London populated by the proles, the proletariat, who are totally disconnected, and they think they're disconnected, they're not, from the machinations of the party and Big Brother. But Winston is wandering around here. He comes to a bar, and he goes in the bar where people are drinking beer and throwing darts and arguing about the latest lottery. And he starts talking to an old man. Now, remember what Winston Smith had written in his diary. If there's any hope at all, it lies with the proles. What he's hoping for, without saying it, is the possibility of revolution someday in order to overthrow the party and destroy Big Brother. So he sits down with the old man, and he has a bunch of questions, and we'll pick up there. He's talking to the old man. He says, you can remember what it was like in the old days before the revolution. I've been told that here in London, the great mass of the people never had enough to eat from birth to death. Half of them hadn't even boots on their feet. They worked 12 hours a day. They left school at 9 years old. They slept 10 in a room. At the same time, there were very few people, only a few thousand rich people, the capitalists they were called, who were rich and powerful. They owned everything. Everything that there was to own. They lived in great gorgeous houses with 30 servants. They rode about in motor cars and four-horse carriages. They drank champagne. They wore top hats. The old man brightened suddenly. Top hats, he said. Funny you should mention them. The same thing come into my head only yesterday. I don't know why. I was just thinking. I ain't seen a top hat in years. Going right out there. Last time I wore one was at my sister-in-law's funeral, and that was, well, I couldn't give you the date. It must have been 50 years ago. Of course, it was only ironed for the occasion, you understand. It isn't very important about the top hats, said Winston. The point is, these capitalists, they and a few lawyers and priests and so forth who lived on them, they were the lords of the earth. Everything existed for their benefit. You, the ordinary people, the workers, you were their slaves. They could do what they liked with you. They could ship you off to Canada like cattle. They could sleep with your daughters if they chose. They could order you to be flogged with something called a cat of nine tails. You had to take your cap off when you passed them. Every capitalist went about with a gang of lackeys who... The old man brightened again. Lackeys! Now there's a word I ain't heard since so long, ever so long, lackeys! That regular takes me back, that does! I recollect old donkeys years ago. I used to sometimes go to Hyde Park on a Sunday afternoon, hear the blokes making speeches, the Salvation Army and Roman Catholics and Jews and Indians, all sorts there was. And there was one bloke, well, I couldn't give you his name, but a real powerful speaker he was. He didn't half-give it them. Lackeys, he says. Lackeys of the bourgeoisie. Flunkies of the ruling class. Parasites. That was another one of them. And hyenas. He definitely called them hyenas. Of course, he was referring to the Labour Party, you understand. Winston had the feeling they were talking at cross purposes. What I really wanted to know was this, he said. Do you feel that you have more freedom now than you had in those days? Are you treated more like a human being? In the old days, the rich people, the people at the top, the House of Lords, put in the old man reminiscently. The House of Lords, then, if you like. What I'm asking is, were these people able to treat you as an inferior simply because they were rich and you were poor? Is it a fact, for instance, that you had to call them sir and take off your cap when you passed them? The old man appeared to think deeply. He drank off about a quarter of his beer before answering. Yes, he said. They liked you to touch your cap to them. It showed respect-like. I didn't agree with it myself, but I'd done it often enough. Had to, as you might say. And was it usual? I'm only quoting what I've read in history books. Was it usual for these people and their servants to push you off the pavement into the gutter? One of them pushed me once, said the old man. I recollect it as if it was yesterday. It was boat race night. Terribly rowdy they used to get on boat race night, and I bumps into a young bloke on Shaftesbury Avenue. Quite a gent he was, dress shirt, top hat, black overcoat. He was kind of zigzagging across the pavement, and I bumps into him accidental like. He says, "Why can't you look where you're going?" he says. And I said, "Do you think You bought the bleeding pavement? He says, I'll twist your bloody head off if you get fresh with me. I says, you're drunk. I'll give you in charge in half a minute, I says. And if you'll believe me, he puts his hand on my chest and gives me a shove as pretty near sent me under the wheels of a bus. Well, I was young in them days, and I was going to have fetched him one, but... Sense of helplessness took hold of Winston. The old man's memory was nothing but a rubbish heap of details. One could question him all day without getting any real information. The party histories might still be true after a fashion. They might even be completely true. He made a last attempt. Perhaps I've not made myself clear, he said. What I'm trying to say is this. You've been alive a very long time. You lived half your life before the revolution. In 1925, for instance, you were already grown up. Would you say, from what you can remember, that life in 1925 was better than it is now, or worse? If you could choose, would you prefer to live then or now? The old man looked meditatively at the darts board. He finished up his beer more slowly than before. When he spoke, it was with a tolerant philosophical air, as though the beer had mellowed him. I know what you expect me to say, he said. You expect me to say, as I'd sooner be young again. Most people say that they'd sooner be young if you asked them. You got your health and strength when you're young. When you get to my time of life, you ain't never well. I suffer something wicked from my feet, and my bladder's just terrible. 6 and 7 times a night, it has me out of bed. On the other hand, there's great advantages in being an old man. You ain't got the same worries. No truck with women, and that's a great thing. I ain't had a woman for near on 30 years, if you credit it. Nor wanted to, what's more. Winston sat back against the window, so it was no use going on. He was about to buy some more beer when the old man suddenly got up and shuffled rapidly into the stinking urinal at the side of the room. The extra half liter was already working on him. Winston sat for a minute or two gazing at his empty glass and hardly noticed when his feet carried him out into the street again. Within 20 years, at the most, he reflected, the huge and simple question, was life better before the revolution than it is now, would have ceased once and for all to be answerable. But in effect, it was unanswerable even now, since the few scattered survivors from the ancient world were incapable of comparing one age with another. They remembered a million useless things, a quarrel with a workmate, a hunt for a lost bicycle pump, the expression on a long-dead sister's face, the swirls of dust on a windy morning 70 years ago. But all the relevant facts were outside the range of their vision. They were like the ant, which can see small objects but not large ones. And when memory failed and written records were falsified, when that happened, the claim of the party to have improved the conditions of human life had got to be accepted, because there did not exist, and never again could exist, any standard against which it could be tested. At this moment, his train of thought stopped abruptly. He halted and looked up. He was in a narrow street with a few dark little shops interspersed among dwelling houses. Immediately above his head there hung 3 discolored metal balls, which looked as if they had once been gilded. He seemed to know the place. Of course, he was standing outside the junk shop where he'd bought the diary. A twinge of fear went through him. It had been a sufficiently rash act to buy the book in the beginning, and he had sworn never to come near the place again, and yet, the instant that he allowed his thoughts to wander, his feet had brought him back here of their own accord. It was precisely against suicidal impulses of this kind that he had hoped to guard himself by opening the diary. At the same time, he noticed that although it was nearly 21 hours, the shop was still open. With the feeling that he would be less conspicuous inside than hanging out on the pavement, he stepped through the doorway. If questioned, he could plausibly say he was trying to buy razor blades. The proprietor had just lighted a hanging oil lamp which gave off an unclean but friendly smell. He was a man of perhaps 60, frail and bowed, with a long, benevolent nose and mild eyes distorted by black, thick spectacles. His hair was almost white, but his eyebrows were bushy and still black. His spectacles, his gentle, fussy movements, and the fact that he was wearing an aged jacket of black velvet gave him a vague air of intellectuality, as though he had been some kind of literary man or perhaps a musician. His voice was soft, as though faded, and his accent less debased than that of the majority of proles. I recognized you on the pavement, he said immediately. You're the gentleman that bought the young lady's keepsake album. That was a beautiful bit of paper, that was. Cream laid, it used to be called. There's been no paper like that made for, I dare say, 50 years. He peered at Winston over the tops of his spectacles. Is there something special I can do for you? Or did you just want to look around? I was passing, said Winston vaguely. I just looked in. I don't want anything in particular. It's just as well, said the other, because I don't suppose I could have satisfied you. He made an apologetic gesture with his soft-palmed hand. You see how it is, an empty shop, you might say. Between you and me, the antique trade's just about finished. No demand any longer, and no stock either. Furniture, china, glass, it's all been broken up by degrees. And, of course, the metal stuff's mostly been melted down. I haven't seen a brass candlestick in years.
Lost in the lost world. So many people are dying.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Welcome back to Inside DC. I am Kim Davis, and we're talking politics with James on his car phone.
Kim, I just missed a right turn back there. Now, can I take a right at this light?
Well, I have been accused of leaning to the right.
To easily get back on track when you miss a turn, you want to ask TomTom, not Kim.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen, and a helpful voice guides you where you're going.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
There are two kinds of bikers. There's the tough, hardcore biker, like Smokey here.
Hey, bro.
And then there's the weekend rider, like Jeff.
Hey, man.
These two bikers couldn't be more different, except for one thing. You both have GEICO motorcycle insurance. Because GEICO covers most kinds of motorcycles, and they offer money-saving discounts. So, you see, you guys, you have more in common than you thought.
Neat.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. GEICO Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
Because life's too short to listen to right-wing radio, it's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 9 before the hour. Thanks to the crew, as usual. Justin Yuen, Clay Caplice, and our resident rock star at Air America, Jason Isaac. All three guys engineered the program tonight. Thank you. D. Neal, our associate producer, and posts our blog at airamericaradio.com/Mike Malloy. Also, Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, webmaster, Ben Birch, WhiteRoadSociety.org, and Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. Also, Catherine Bay, our executive producer. Luke is calling from Tennessee. Luke, thanks for your patience. Hey, Luke. 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 Oh, my God, he's really asleep. Luke. Luke. All right, well, he went to sleep. I get it. I get what you're saying. I get what you said. You know, he held on for an hour and 30 minutes so he could snore. Okay. The one topic that, well, there were several we didn't get to tonight, but Condoleezza Rice. See, there were all kinds of hearings today, all kinds of Senate and House panels going with all kinds of stuff. As a result of the criminality of the Bush crime family. But Condoleezza Rice was there in her smarmy little schoolteacherish attitude. She told a Senate panel today that she plans to ask for, I said $25 million, $75 million to, are you ready? Are you sitting down? Promote democracy in Iran. Now, is she going to do that as the bombs are falling, as the Israelis and the Americans launch a joint strike against Iran? $75 million to promote democracy. She told the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, what a collection of half-wits that committee is, that the money for Iran, on top of $10 million already provided in the current budget, would be used, are you ready, to, quote, support the democratic aspirations of the Iranian people, end quote. She said no one wants to see a Middle East that is dominated by an Iranian hegemony, particularly one that has access to nuclear technology. And she later called Iran, quote, our biggest single strategic challenge in the region. Is she saying Iran or Iraq? We've seen this. Hey, Condi, we have attended this movie before. We've got the empty popcorn boxes and the crumbled up candy wrappers. Been here, done this. She said in her prepared statement that the extra $75 million, extra, quote, would enable us to increase our support for democracy and improve our radio broadcasting, begin satellite television broadcasts, increase the contacts between our people through expanded fellowships and scholarships for Iranian students, and to bolster our public democracy efforts. If there's $75 million floating around, why not use it to, I don't know, give it to college students who are struggling to stay in class? You know, that your boss, money that your boss has ripped out of college funding. Are the Iranians going to have to pay this back? No? The students? American students, if they don't pay back their loans now, there's a law in the books, Condi, that says when they go to draw their Social Security, the money can be taken. A couple of people on that committee, Joe Biden of Delaware, the panel's top Democrat, said that any sanctions on Iran that included an embargo on our purchases of oil would have what Biden calls a dramatic, dramatic negative impact. Gee, Joe, really? And I love this one. Chuck Hagel, the Republican from Nebraska, that everybody was on the cover of New York Times Sunday magazine. Oh, Chuck Hagel, the lone wolf. Chuck Hagel called Iran the most powerful country in the Middle East. No, Chuck, that would be Israel! But Chuck knows the complete and total stupidity and ignorance of the American people so he can sit there and say that Iran is the most powerful country in the Middle East. And does anyone call him on it? No. Of course not. Well, Condi, you ought to get, you know, you sit down with Rumsfeld and sit down with Cheney because those boys are planning to nuke. Yeah, small tactical nukes. Going to use nukes to end the nuclear program in Iran. Of course, the nuclear program in Iran was started by the United States 30 years ago. Yeah, back in the 70s when the Shah was the dictator of Iran, supported by, ever since the 50s, by every American government that came into power. Yeah, how about that? The American push for Iran's nuclear development was carried out with great enthusiasm, Condi. Did you know that? Huh? And the Shah, back in the 70s, ran a terrorist state himself. Of course, most of his terror was directed at his own people through the Sabak. Oh, and Iraq. Oh, Jesus, God. But there sits Condoleezza Rice, because just like the ignorance that Chuck Hagel depends on when he says Iran is the most powerful nation in the Middle East, Condi depends on the same ignorance when she sits there and says, we need $75 billion to introduce the Iranians to democracy. Oh, God. We'll talk about this a little bit more tomorrow, unless Cheney shoots somebody else. You never know. Thanks for participating tonight. I do appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
On Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm John. Like most moms, my wife Maggie makes sacrifices for the kids and me every day. After reading an article about another mom from Florida who lost 100 pounds using all-natural H57 Hoodia, she decided to finally do something for herself. She tried H57 Hoodia, and it worked. I've never seen her happier. Since she started taking H57 Hoodia, we can't keep up with her. Look, to me, she's always been beautiful, but now you can tell she feels that way, too. Thanks, H57. I love seeing Maggie smile.
Call now and try H57 Hoodia risk-free at 877-H57-DIET or visit myh57.com.
Hey, it's John Madden here to give you what every homeowner wants, a great excuse to go to the hardware store. This Saturday, February 18th, is the Ace Hardware Bag Sale. For one day only, save 20% on whatever you can fit in a bag. So come in this Saturday only, February 18th, and save big. Ace, the helpful place. Discount off regular price of in-stock merchandise. Additional exclusions may apply. See participating store for details.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.